Hello, this is Cindy Michelini. I'm a first grade teacher at Summit Township Elementary School. I am joined by Julie Pellis, also a first grade teacher at Summit Township Elementary School. We'd like to thank you for tuning into this broadcast, and a huge thank you to the Butler Radio Network for making this possible.
We will start our lesson with the Pledge of Allegiance. Please stand up, put your right hand over your heart, and recite the pledge with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For today's lesson, we will be learning about spring planting, and we will be thinking about how seeds can change from seed to plant. All plants start from a seed. Some seeds grow into plants that actually give us food or fruit. This is the case of the story we chose for today. I will be reading a book to you called From Seed to Pumpkin by Wendy Pfeffer. Before I read this story, please find three sheets of paper and a pencil. You will be asked to listen very carefully to the details from the book to draw a pumpkin plant by listening to how the author describes the plant as it grows. I'll give you some time to find three sheets of paper and a pencil. Listen to this music clip while you find your materials.
Now that you have a pencil and some paper, I want you to think about what you already know about plants. Plants are living organisms. They start off small as a seed, and then over time grow roots and other parts. They change because of certain things. They end up looking nothing like the seed, but end up growing with many seeds inside of them, or inside a part of them. Or in the case of strawberries, the seeds are on the outside. How interesting is this, that from one seed, we can grow a pumpkin that has inside approximately over 200 seeds inside of that own pumpkin. So if you have one seed, think of how many more of that plant you could grow over time. Your learning target today is to listen carefully to the story and think about how seeds change into plants. Also, another learning target for today is to draw a labeled diagram scene of a plant and how it changes in the story. If possible, you will want to have two sheets of paper for this part of the learning and keep another sheet of paper aside for a fun project at the end of the story. The first paper will show the seed as it is planted in the beginning of the story. You will include other things in this picture that are needed for the plant to grow as you listen to the details from the text. You will also be asked to label as many parts as your picture of your picture as you can. The second sheet of paper will show how the plant looks at towards the end of the story. Again, you will include other things to this picture that are needed for the plant to grow. You will also be asked to label as many parts of your picture as you can. I will let you know when you need to start using this second sheet of paper. The third sheet of paper will be for something fun we will do after the story and the drawings are done. Stay tuned for what we will do with that sheet of paper.
Okay, now it is time for the story From Seed to Pumpkin. I will read the story slowly and pause to ask some thinking questions. This will give you some time to make your label diagram scenes on your papers. Here we go, From Seed to Pumpkin by Wendy Pfeffer. Illustrated by James Graham Hale. When spring winds warm the earth, a farmer plants hundreds of pumpkin seeds. Every pumpkin seed can become a baby pumpkin plant. Underground, covered with dark, moist soil, the baby plants begin to grow. As the plants get bigger, the seeds crack open, stems sprout up, roots dig down. Inside the roots are tubes. Water travels up these tubes the way juice goes up a straw. In less than 2 weeks from planting time, green shoots poke up through the earth. These shoots grow into tiny seedlings. Two leaves, called seed leaves, uncurl on each stem. They reach up toward the sun. Let me stop here. Did you draw the following parts? Did you draw a seed underground? Did you draw roots going down under the seed? Did you draw sprouts going up above the soil? Think of roots as little mini straws. They drink up the water and bring the water to the plant. We need water to survive too. Think of how we consume water. Consume water by drinking it. Seeds consume water by drinking it through the roots. Think about how the author said that the seeds can grow into a pumpkin plant. The author did not say that each seed will grow into a pumpkin plant. What are some things that you can think of that would cause a seed to not get the chance to grow into a pumpkin? This question will be answered as you listen more to the story. You can label your picture later if you need more time. Let's continue with the story now. Sunlight gives these leaves energy to make food. Like us, plants need food to grow. But green plants do not eat food as we do. Their leaves make it. To make food, plants need light, water, and air. Leaves catch the sunlight. Roots soak up rainwater. And little openings in the leaves let air in. Using energy from the sun, the leaves mix the air with the water from the soil to make sugar. This feeds the plant. Let me pause the story here again. Let's think about some of these ideas. Did you hear how the author said leaves catch the sunlight? Can leaves actually catch things like we can with our hands? If we went to a baseball game, we would see the players catching the baseball with their mitt. When the author said that the leaves catch the sunlight, it kind of means the same thing as if a player caught a ball. But in this case, it means the leaf is out, it is open, and it is absorbing. The leaf is collecting that sunlight just by the light shining on it. If you look at your picture, do you have leaves in your picture? Do you have roots underneath the soil? Why are the roots important to the plants? I also want to have you think about what the author meant when she said the plant makes sugar. Does this mean that if I open up the vines of this pumpkin plant, that white sugar is going to pour out? Kind of like the white sugar that you may have in your kitchen that you see someone add to sweet treat recipes or tea? No. The sugar that plants make happens when the sun shines on the leaf. This is a process called photosynthesis and is very interesting to learn about. In this case, sugar isn't really like the sugar you have in the kitchen, but it's sugar in the sense that it is energy. Let's keep reading the story now. Soon, broad, prickly leaves with jagged edges unfold on the stems. The seed leaves dry up. Now the new leaves make food for the pumpkin plant. Each pumpkin stem has many sets of tubes. One tube in each set takes water from the soil up to the leaves so they can make sugar. The other tube in each set sends food back down so the pumpkin can grow. The days grow warmer. The farmer tends the pumpkin patch to keep weeds out. Weeds take water from the soil. Pumpkin plants need that water to grow. Pumpkin plants don't stand up tall. As the stems grow longer, they sprawl all over the ground. Before long, twisted, tangled vines cover the pumpkin patch. Soon, flower buds appear on the vines. After each bud opens, its orange petals grow bigger and bigger. Look like bright orange umbrellas. During the heat of the day, the flowers close. They open again during the cool nights and early mornings. The bright orange flowers attract swarms of bees. The bees buzz about, carrying yellow pollen from the male flowers to the female flowers. Let's take another break. This is the end of our first page task of drawing a label diagram scene showing how a seed starts. Look at your label diagram scene. Do you have these parts? A seed shell, soil, sun. Do you have raindrops and leaves with little jagged edges growing from a stem? Do you have long tubes going from the seed to the leaves? Long vines and big orange flowers? Your scene on your first page should not have any pumpkins yet. We should only see the plant with spiky leaves, long vines, and big orange flowers attached. We should see the sunshine and some raindrops coming from a cloud. All plants need the sun, water, and air to survive. You can add labels later to your picture. Now it's time for some things to think about while you're drawing or while you're waiting, giving other friends some more time to add details to their picture. Do you think that the pumpkin will grow if there are no bees to pollinate it? The answer to this question is no. We need to make sure that we take very good care of our crops and yards so that our bees survive. Bees have a very important job. If bees did not pollinate the plants, then we would not have fruit or vegetables that come from the flowers of the plant. Did you know that flowers actually turn into the fruit of the vegetable? So if your drawing does not have that big orange flower, it would not make a pumpkin. Do you remember what the author said about how the pumpkin plants grow? They don't grow up towards the sky like a tree or like a shrub. They grow across the ground. So if you've ever been to a pumpkin patch or you've ever seen pictures of pumpkin patches, you notice that they take up a lot of space. Pumpkin plants sprawl out. They grow outward. So if you end up growing pumpkins this spring, you'll need a lot of space so that you'll have the pumpkins in the fall. You'll want to make sure that you plant them so they have enough room to sprawl out. Here's another question for you. What time of day would you most likely see bees pollinating the flowers on a pumpkin plant? Would you see bees in the early morning, in the afternoon when it's the hottest, or in the cool evening? The time that you're most likely to see bees busy at work with a plant is early in the morning hours of the summer. During the day of the summer, when it gets very hot, the flowers of the pumpkin plants close up. Since they are closed, the bees wouldn't be able to go to the flowers to pollinate. Now we will finish the story. Use your second piece of paper now to make another drawing. This drawing will show how that little seedling changes into the end stages of the cycle of a pumpkin. Some things on your pictures will be the same, but some things will change. I'll keep reading the story slowly so you have some time to draw and add details to your labeled diagram scene on page 2. Now pumpkins can grow. The petals wither away. Where the flowers bloomed, tiny hard fruits begin to grow. Hundreds of these cling to the vines. The days grow hot. All summer, the warm sun and the cool rain help the tiny fruits grow larger and larger. Soon summer is over. The corn stalks next to the pumpkin patch turn brown. Leaves on trees turn red, orange, and yellow. Pumpkins change color too. As they ripen, they change from green to yellow, then to orange. In just 4 months, small, flat, white pumpkin seeds have grown into big, fat, orange pumpkins. The pumpkins are ripe and round, with lumps and bumps. They come in all sizes and shapes, and they're waiting in the autumn sun. Some pumpkins will be carved into jack-o'-lanterns for Halloween. some will be baked into pumpkin pies for Thanksgiving. Colorful leaves turn brown, winter winds begin to blow, and soon the trees are bare. The farmer looks out over the pumpkin patch, where only a few dead vines remain. But when spring winds warm the earth, once again, he will plant hundreds of pumpkin seeds. And once again, they will grow from seed to pumpkin. This concludes the story, From Seed to Pumpkin. Looking at your second picture, I have some questions for you. Did you draw dried, crunchy brown leaves on your vines on this page? The vines are still there, and they would still be green. But now, instead of a flower, we should see a pumpkin. You can choose how to color your pumpkin. If it's early in the fall, the pumpkin would be green. A little later in the fall, it would be yellow. And if you draw a pumpkin ready to pick, it would be orange. You can take some time to add labels to your pictures now. Labeling your pictures is a great skill to have. It shows that you know how to tell others what certain things are in your picture. If you are in kindergarten or first grade, you can use what you learned with your kid writing lessons in school to try to spell the words how they sound. Think of the sounds we hear in the word root. Maybe you would spell it R-U-T-E, or maybe you would spell it R-O-O-T. And the actual way to spell the word root is R-O-O-T. You can ask a parent for some help with how to label the pumpkin. While you label, listen to this fun song about pumpkins.
Five little pumpkins sitting on a gate. The first one said, "Oh my, it's getting late." The second one said, "There are witches in the air." The third one said, "But we don't care." The fourth one said, "Let's run and run and run." The fifth one said, "We're ready for some fun." Then ooh went the wind, and out went the light, and the five little pumpkins rolled out of sight. Why don't we do it again? You sing along with me this time. Five little pumpkins sitting on a gate. The first one said, "Oh my, it's getting late." The second one said, "There are witches in the air." The third one said, "But we don't care." The fourth one said, "Let's run and run and run." And the fifth one said, "We're ready for some fun." Then ooh went the wind, and out went the light, and the five little pumpkins rolled out of sight.
If you need more time to label and color your picture, you can finish adding details and coloring when you have more time. You want to make sure that you have at least five things labeled in your picture. Maybe you labeled the sun and rain, the seed and the roots, or maybe you labeled the sprouts and the vine. If you're up for a challenge, maybe you can add some extra details and some extra labels to your picture. Maybe in your soil, you add some other things that would be in the soil along with the seed, like tiny pebbles or worms. If you drew different types of clouds in the sky, you could name the actual cloud types by their name, such as stratus clouds or cumulus clouds. A few final questions I have for you about the story. What are the things a farmer had to do to make sure that the pumpkins grew? One of the things he needed to do is make sure that they had enough space to grow outside. Even though you couldn't see the pictures in this book, unless if you have a copy with you or if you're looking online at the book, you would notice the farmers don't plant their seeds underneath shade trees. Why don't they do that? they plant their seeds out in the fields so that they have enough room and light to grow. We wouldn't want to plant our seeds anywhere where the light would be blocked. What else did the farmer do to make sure that his pumpkins grew? One of the things that he had to do was take the weeds away from his garden with the pumpkins. If you've ever helped your parents weed a garden, you're going to know that this is a lot of work, and it takes time to do this well. The reason why the farmer had to get rid of the weeds is that the weeds take away light and water, and they also take away nutrients from the soil that would help his pumpkins grow. Which season was not mentioned much in the story? The season that was not really mentioned in the story was winter. Why is this? Because in the winter, we really can't grow things outside. The reason why we can't grow things outside in the winter is it's too cold. And because it's too cold, we don't have rain. We have snow. This is why you don't see a lot of plants growing outside in the winter. It is too cold for roots to move the water through the plant. The frost and freezing temperatures would kill the leaves and other plant parts above the soil. But when spring comes, then we can start growing our plants outside. Another question I have for you is, who helped the farmer grow the pumpkin patch? We didn't really hear of any other characters in the story other than the farmer, so who helped him? The bees helped him. The bees helped to pollinate or move pollen from flower to flower. Pollen is that yellow dust you see in the middle of the flower, and if it wasn't for the bees, there would not have been any pumpkins at the end of this story. What type of person would you say the farmer is? Would you say that he is always in a rush and impatient, or would you say he has a lot of patience? The answer to this farmer is very patient. How do I know that? Because he started planting his seeds in the spring, which would be around now. It could be around April or May, and he spent time with his garden all through the month of June and all through the month of July and all through the month of August before the flowers even started turning into pumpkins. Then he had to keep up with the garden during the months of September and October until finally the pumpkins were ready to pick. This is an example of someone who is very patient, hardworking, and dedicated to his work.
Now let's set aside our labeled diagram scenes of the pumpkin plant growing from seed to pumpkin. Let's take a look at that last sheet of paper that you have in front of you. This is our fun page. On this page, I would like you to create your own pumpkin after you would pick it from the plant. Maybe it's a tall and skinny pumpkin, or maybe you chose a wide, fat pumpkin. You could choose to paint it with watercolors or paint that you have at home. Sometimes we paint pumpkins close to October, or maybe you want to draw how you would carve the pumpkin. Sometimes people choose to make jack-o'-lanterns out of their pumpkins. So while you take some time to be creative, please enjoy this music as you get started on your creativity pumpkin page. Now it's time for some science. Write down this list of materials so you can find them later. What you'll need for this part of the lesson is you're going to want a mason jar or a clear plastic container, a seed of some sort, water, and a paper towel. You may not have all of these things ready or available for this experiment, and it will take some time to gather what you need. But if you listen carefully to the details, you should be able to remember how to make this experiment on your own at home. You'll need to get some type of clear jar. Mason jars are nice and sturdy, and those would work really well for this experiment. If you don't have a mason jar, you could even use a clear plastic container or a Ziploc bag for this. The most important part is that you choose something that's clear so you can observe what goes on with the seed over time. If you plant your seed in another container, such as a planting pot or the bottom of a milk carton, you won't be able to make the observations of how the seed changes. However, you would be able to see what happens to the sprout once it comes up out of the soil. So once you find your clear container, you also want to have some water in a paper towel handy. First, you're going to take some water and put it in the bottom of your container. Next, you want to take a napkin or a paper towel, fold it gently, and put it inside of the clear container. At this time, you want to take a seed, or even a few seeds, and put it inside the jar up against the side. If you tuck your seeds into the paper towel, you won't be able to see what happens to it as it changes. You can use any types of seeds for this experiment, but the seeds we use at school that grow pretty quickly are pea seeds or bean seeds. Sunflower seeds also work well, but you can use any seeds that you have. Maybe your parents will cut up a green pepper to put on a salad for dinner tonight, and you can use some seeds from the pepper for this experiment. You could use seeds from fruit or other veggies that you eat at home. Once you have a seed and you put it into the container, place it somewhere where you can see it. You're going to want to add a little bit more water. Make sure that you don't add too much water. What you can do after you take this and place it somewhere it will get light is that you can make yourself your own science observation journal. Observations are what you see from looking at something. You could date it for each day that you take a look at your seed. And each day that you come back with your jar with your seed, you want to take some time to draw what you see. This is the same skill that practiced today when you listen to the story from Seed to Pumpkin. Instead, now you're actually looking at your own experiments and how your own seeds is making the changes over time. Remember what we learned from the book. All plants need air, water, and sunlight. If you just want to make observation about your seed and how it changes, this is a great science experiment, and all you need is one jar, one seed, paper towels, and water. Here are some of the ways to make this lesson more challenging. You could take three containers, and you could put a different seed in each container to make observations of how different seeds look each day over time. If you did this, then in your journal, you're going to draw three containers. Label each one with the kind of seed you used. Be sure you don't mix up the order of the jars and go back to them every day for observation. If you don't have three different kinds of seeds, another way to make this experiment more challenging is to take three of the same seeds, such as three bean seeds or three pea seeds, and put them into separate containers. Use a paper towel for each container to hold the moisture and hold the seed to the side of the container so you can see what happens. For this experiment, you can place the containers in three different places in your house. Maybe one is right up against the window and it would get a lot of sunlight, but maybe another one is placed somewhere kind of dark, like close to the window but not right up against it. And your container is somewhere completely dark, like a cupboard that isn't opened a lot, or in a spot in your basement that doesn't get a lot of light. This will be an experiment with how light affects the growth of the certain seed that you planted. Another variation to this experiment is that instead of using a paper towel to hold the moisture of the water, you can use some things that help to hold moisture for the seed. The farmer in the story used soil to hold the moisture for the seeds. So if you have dirt outside that you are allowed to use for a science experiment, you can have one container with dirt and a seed, one jar with something else, like maybe sand if you have it, and the seed, and have one jar with a paper towel and the seed. This would show how different materials could cause some type of change with your one seed type. Remember, when you do an experiment, you always want to be safe. Ask adults for help. Also, remember that good scientists only change one thing for an experiment for it to be true. You can't take three different kinds of seeds and try to grow them in three different places in your house. This would not be a valid or true experiment because you changed the place and the lighting and the type of the seed. If you only change one thing, though, you can make a true judgment about how that one factor you changed made all the difference.
We're going to end with a quote by Rachel Carson about the spring. "Those who contemplate the beauty of the earth find reserves of strength. that will endure as long as life lasts. There is something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature, the assurance that dawn comes after night and spring after winter. We wish everyone a happy spring. We hope you enjoyed our broadcast today, and we hope you learned a little bit about seeds and how they grow. We hope that you had fun listening to the details of a story, making a labeled diagram, having some creative fun, and thinking ahead to an interesting science experiment you can do at home. Thanks again from Mrs. Michelini and Mrs. Pellis, both first grade teachers at Summit Township Elementary School.